All right, Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17 is where we're going to begin this morning. We're going to begin in Genesis chapter 17 and really cross throughout the Word of God this morning. And we will not stick in one place for a very long time. But I preached a message about, I guess it was 4 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And in that message, I referenced something that had come to me in that moment, and I had not been able to get it off my mind since. And I want to be a blessing and a help to all of us this morning. I pray that this will be what the Lord has for us, as He has led me to this portion of Scripture and many others. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, in verse 1, as you look there with me, the Bible says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." Now let me stop real quick in verse 1 of chapter 17. The Bible says at the end, "I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." I was studying that word out at the end, "be thou perfect." If you were to cross-reference and go throughout the Word of God and you were to study it out a little bit, there are other Bible versions who interpret that word perfect there as being blameless or sincere. And this is just another reason why I would briefly say be careful that you only stick to the King James, because the King James is the only pure, perfect Word of God. Now, in that word right there, perfect, other versions want that to be interpreted as blameless or as sincere. The only thing that is wrong with that is that the word sincere can be something that, yes, they were sincere, but they still sinned. Well, the Bible does not say that. The Bible does not say, be thou sincere, even if you sin. The Bible says there, be thou perfect. That word there, if you were to study it out, being interpreted and understanding that it means very simply to be obedient, to be complete. And it's like in the Word of God in Matthew. The Bible says in Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." If you were to study that out, it means without flaw. It means mature. It means complete. And so you look at this portion of Scripture and you see that in the very beginning of chapter 17, verse 1, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect." You see that the stipulations were so high. Someone would look at this verse and this portion of Scripture and say, that's pretty serious. And it was. The covenant that is talked about here in verse 2, "And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly." Look with me as you continue walking on down. Look with me in verse 14. The Bible says, "And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people, he hath broken my covenant. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" And Abraham said unto God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before thee." And God said, "Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him." You study this portion of Scripture out. We're going to be looking at many different portions of Scripture this morning. 4 weeks ago, as I was studying and preparing the message, I got up and was preaching a message, and a thought came to me as I was preaching the message that we oftentimes forget that sometimes we're going through something and then God shows up. And this morning, we're going to look at some portions of Scripture this morning that there was something that was going on and then God showed up. There are many homes today who have been affected by issues that they don't like to talk about, but then God showed up. There are many people who can give a testimony that they were in sin, they were in need of a Savior, and then God showed up. There are many homes that you could talk about where bus kids come to church and they don't get the love that they want. They come to church and they see that God showed up. There are many situations where a drug addict or someone who is on the streets is just looking for something, and then God shows up. And all throughout the Word of God, you see that God has shown up. There are many illustrations. There are many stories. Flip with me to Genesis chapter 20. 22, I mean. Genesis chapter 22, you understand that Abram has just been waiting for a son with Sarah. The Lord has just given him that son. In chapter 17, it is referenced. In chapter 22, we see something that is taking place. We understand what is taking place. It's a very familiar story, but the Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon thee, upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young man, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come unto again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So he went; they went both of them together. Now I want you to notice in verse 8, Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. He's been waiting for a son with Sarah. The Lord has given him Isaac, and he's been tempted. The Bible says in verse 1, God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. He's being tested here in this portion of Scripture. Verse 9, the Bible says, And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Genesis chapter 22, you see Abraham about to sacrifice his son to the Lord, and then God showed up. You think about the situations through your life when the Lord is just desiring to get to know you a little bit better. When the Lord is just desiring to spend time with you a little bit more. When you just see that the Lord is tempting you to see if your faith is in Him is very true. And you see in Genesis chapter 22 that very simply, Abraham understood one thing. I have to obey the Lord. I have to trust the Lord. Abraham was about to kill his son, and the Lord provided the substitute to be a ram. In chapter 22 of Genesis, the Lord helps us to understand that even in the times when we think, what is He doing? He's still going to show up. Even in those situations you're going through right now, in that situation, maybe you're going through a troubled time, God can still show up and He will show up. You think about the families that have been hurt. I think about growing up in a broken home. And my parents getting divorced at a young age, and I was a young boy, and then God showed up. If the Lord had not directed my stepfather to my mother, I don't know where I'd be today. And even in those times where you look at it and you say, wow, that wasn't supposed to happen, God still makes something happen out of it. And He always gets the glory. And so, as we look in Genesis chapter 22, we see that, hey, God showed up. If you would, go with me as well to the Bible, Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, the Bible helps us understand, if you're familiar with the man by the name of Jacob, the Bible says, And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let these go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh, and the sinew that shrank. In chapter 32 of Genesis, we see that God showed up. There are moments sometimes in our lives where we begin wrestling with God. And we say, "Lord, I don't want to do this. Lord, I don't want to head in this direction." And he shows up and handles the situation. And we say, "Lord, I should have been doing it the entire time." Is there something this morning that you're wrestling with God about? Maybe you're wrestling with God whether you want to serve Him. Maybe you're wrestling with God about a situation and saying, "Lord, I'm taking my hands off of it. It's all in your place now." Maybe you're wrestling with God on a situation of how to handle a situation. Maybe you're wrestling with God about your personal life and what He would have for you. Whatever the case may be, God's going to show up and His will prevail. And we have to understand some things, that the Lord never wants to put us in harm's way. He just desires the best for our life. And so even in those moments when you said, "I just don't know," God's going to show up. He's proven Himself faithful every single time. In Psalm chapter 78, flip with me there one more time. I love this psalm. I don't know if I could ever get enough of it. Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, as you begin asking that question, if God will show up, and you've already seen Him show up multiple times. In Psalm 78, I want you to notice once again, you've seen this portion of Scripture. It's been very familiar to you. The Bible says in verse 19, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" You ever been in a situation in your own life where you said, "Is God going to do this, or can God do this?" And then later on, you get through the situation, you realize that He was working behind the scenes. We're looking for Him right here, looking for Him to work, and we get our eyes so focused on the circumstances and say, "Where's God going to, when's He going to take care of this circumstance? When's He going to take care of this situation?" When all along, He's working behind the scenes, just asking you to be faithful to Him. When all along, He's just asking you to trust Him in the situation. You see, we desire sometimes for God to show up so much that we miss it when He does show up. And so this morning, as you look in verse 78, the Bible says in verse 19 of chapter 78, Psalm 78, verse 19, "Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" Back up with me. Look with me in verse 11. The Bible says, "And forgat His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as a heap." Can you tell that God showed up a couple times? "In the daytime also He led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rocks and caused the waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness?" There are many things that we've gone through. There are many situations that the Lord has brought you through, and you're still asking if God can get you through it, or you're still asking if God's going to. And He showed up time and time again. And He's just wanting to show up one more time, but we miss it sometimes. We're saying, "Lord, where are You?" And He's right in front of us, working behind the scenes. In verse 19, I still have not been able to get past that phrase, "Can God?" I made a commitment in my own life not to ask that. And by the grace of God, I pray that every single day when I find myself in a situation, when the finances are tough, I say, "Can God? No, He can't." Or when the situation's tough and someone's sick, and I say, "He can." When I come to church and I'm a little bit down, I say, "God, are You going to grow?" You can. All the situations in our lives, God can show up. He showed up time and time again. I came across this poem a couple days ago. I pray it'll be a blessing and a help to you. This poem says this: God shows up in unexpected places. When choosing a people, He came to the smallest. When choosing a king, He came to the youngest. When choosing disciples, He came to the least qualified. When choosing a gospel spreader, He came to the gospel hater. You go on and you continue reading this poem. It says, Israel expected blessing through birth order, but God chose the second son. They expected God would protect the strong, but His law protects the widows, the fatherless, and the alien. They expected the Messiah would come from the religious elite, but He came from a young woman. They expected the Messiah in Jerusalem, but He was born in Bethlehem. They expected He would come in glory, but He came in infancy. They expected He would take up a crown, but He took up a cross. They expected He would praise the Pharisees and chastise the sinners, but He chastised the Pharisees and loved the sinners. They expected He would ignore the poor, but He promised them so much more. They expected He would honor their traditions, but He hated their positions. They expected He would take up a sword, but once again, He took up a cross. You think about your Savior, you think about what He's done for you, you think about all that He's done. As you think about the many areas of your life, when you think about God showing up, the Lord has shown up in many places all throughout the Word of God. He's shown up in many different situations. You think about Gideon in a wool fleece. You think about Jacob in the wrestling match we just talked about. You think about King David in the death of a child. You think about Moses in a shrub, Noah in the ark, Peter on the shore. You think about Samuel in the middle of the night. You think about the widow in the two mites. You think about Zacchaeus in a tree. All throughout the Word of God, you see God shows up. And the question I ask this morning is, what happens when God shows up? In all of our hearts, in all of our lives, what takes place when God shows up? You see, in all of our lives, we can go through and we could share testimony after testimony. We could say, God showed up in this situation. Brother Bo is a living example of God showing up. I mean, you think about people who have gone through certain situations, God showed up. You think about you think about July 15th of my life personally, when God showed up and I bowed my head at an altar at a junior teen camp and I said, Lord, I need You. And I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. When I was sitting in that service, God showed up and it was so real that He was getting a hold of my heart. He was convicting me of my sin. I was no longer in control. I said, Lord, I can't handle it. And God showed up. And so I asked this question, what happens when God shows up? Four things will be dismissed this morning. When God shows up, He is glorified. Every single situation of your life, when God shows up, you praise Him even more. In every situation that He's brought you through, you praise Him even more. He's given more glory. Because when we find ourselves and we look back and we say, how did I get through this? It's only by the grace of God. And when you look back on your life and you say, well, hey, I can share with you a couple of times when God showed up. I'm thinking right now about the Burlington Revival that took place just a couple of years ago. And over 1,200 people were saved. I'd say God showed up. I'd say He got a hold of some hearts. I'd say He got a hold of some people's lives and said, hey, you need to fix this, you need to change this. I read a quote the other day, as long as we are comfortable with without experiencing revival, we will never desire revival. And that's a true statement. In all of our lives, we plan for revival meetings, we get excited because a guest preacher's coming, but we do nothing about it to prepare our hearts. Listen, you don't have to wait on a church service to experience revival. You don't have to wait on a meeting to experience revival. And when God shows up in your life, He is glorified. You give Him more praise. When God shows up, He is not only glorified, but He is magnified. Flip with me to Philippians. I shared this verse a couple days ago in church service, I believe. In Philippians chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 20 of Philippians 1, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I want you to notice that phrase there in verse 20, Christ shall be magnified. In all of our lives, when God shows up in a situation, and we say, Lord, how am I going to get through this? Lord, what's ahead of me? And then He shows up. Every single time, He's magnified and self is not. You see, we live in a culture, we live in a world where self is magnified. Where we say, what am I getting out of this? We post stuff on social media websites and we say, how many likes can I get? We look at the books that we suggest and we read all these books. When in all reality, the only thing that we ought to desire is to magnify Christ in our life. When He shows up in our lives, when He shows up in those situations, when people say, how did you get through that? Christ. When you share your testimony, how did you get saved?
Christ.
When you're going through and helping people all along the way and they say, how did you know to do this?
Christ.
We've been walking through the Word of God in the book of Daniel in our Sunday school hour. And we've been talking about, and one thing that I'm realizing more and more about Daniel is that very simply, he desired Christ. You see in his life the wisdom that he was given. You see in his life that there is one thing that he desired, and that was that Christ be magnified. You see one thing in the gospel, and that is that Christ is magnified. You see one thing all through churches who are preaching Christ and preaching the gospel, that Christ is magnified. When someone gets saved, Christ is magnified. And so when God shows up in your life, when God shows up in a situation, he is magnified. Every single time. You no longer think about the situation, but you praise your Savior and you say, Lord, it's because of you. You no longer say, how did it happen? But you know that he came through once again. And so when God shows up, he is glorified. He is magnified. When God shows up, his power is solidified. There is none stronger than our Savior. He is the only one. Do you come across people who go to different churches, talk about different religions? They don't have a chance. They don't understand. We have the one true God. And when God shows up, he is dignified. There have been many people. I remember working at a ballet place my senior year of college. I remember coming in contact with my boss. And his name was Josiah Patterson. And Josiah grew up in a Christian home. He grew up in his dad was a pastor. Later on down the years, his mom and father had gotten divorced, and in church he was kind of ruined on, he said. He no longer desired to go to church. He no longer desired anything religious, he said. He no longer desired any of that. And I remember time after time, I would be sharing a testimony or talking to one of my other co-workers that went to college with me, and we'd just be talking about a church service. And we'd just be talking. And every single time, I'd say, hey, Josiah, you come to church with me one time. And he'd go on and talk about why he doesn't go to church. And then we would talk a little bit more, and I would ask more. A lot of people would not ask Josiah sometimes these blunt questions because he was the boss. He just didn't do it. He'd get upset, you know. And so sometimes I'd ask him, I'd say, listen, why won't you go to church? Why don't you go to church? I asked him once, I said, hey, are you sure you're going to heaven? I mean, just questions that made him uncomfortable. But I remember time after time when maybe a school bill was coming up in my junior and senior year. I was blessed my freshman and sophomore year. My parents paid through the GI Bill. My junior and senior year, they said, you're on your own. So I was working and paying through and trying to help, and it would be tight. And you'd be asking the question, well, what am I going to eat tonight? One of those things, and money would show up. And I'd share that with Josiah, and he'd say, great. I mean, time and time again. But I remember I was about to leave. I was about to graduate, and Josiah, all the stories that he had heard about our Lord that other co-workers and myself would tell them about our church that we were going to, when we tell them that school, when we went to Bible club and we had kids that were getting saved, all of these stories. I remember Josiah coming to me, and we had created a relationship. It was one of those where he respected me, I respected him, he was my boss, but it was more of a friendship, trying to reach him type thing. And I remember him saying this one time to me. He said, I don't agree with everything you do. He said, I don't agree with all that. He said, I've been ruined on it. He said, but the many stories that you've shared, he said, I respect it. And I remember him and I having that conversation as I was about to leave. And one thing that he said, and this is where I pray that a seed was planted. He said, maybe one day I'll get back in church. Maybe one day I can get back in church and start going. And I remember him sharing time and time again that he didn't agree with us. But something was different. There was someone that was working behind the scenes. And to this day, I haven't heard from Josiah. I've texted him a couple times. Every time I would see him, I'd call him Boss Man. I like to give people nicknames. It's easier for me. I'm terrible at remembering names. And so, one thing about our Savior is that when He shows up, and you tell people about it, hey, if God shows up, it's hard not to tell people about it. Let me just tell you that. It's hard not to get excited when God's working. They may not agree with you, but our Savior is always respected in those situations. There's a world that doesn't like the name of Jesus. There's people that don't care for that. I just saw the other day where an atheist came to know the Lord because of a shooting. You don't think God's working behind the scenes? There are people that aren't going to like the name of Jesus, but there are people that are still being saved today. And when God shows up in your life and you let the world know that, hey, there is a God. He showed up in this situation. He showed up in this situation. I'm not ashamed. He's glorified. He's magnified. His power is solidified. And every single time, He's dignified. This morning, I'm asking a very simple question. Are you still, I don't know when I preached it, are you still? In Psalm 78, we see in verse 19 the phrase, can God? Are you still asking that phrase? Still asking that question, can God? Are you going through something right now where you've been doubting or maybe you've been discouraged and you are going through something and you're saying, I just don't know how? But by the grace of God, He'll bring you through. He's proven Himself time and time again. And when God shows up, He makes it known. I want you to notice what this says one more time. I'm going to read this poem. We'll be dismissed. God shows up in unexpected places. When choosing a people, He came to the smallest. When choosing a king, He came to the youngest. When choosing disciples, He came to the least qualified. When choosing a gospel spreader, He came to the gospel hater. They expected God would come, protect the strong, but His law protected the widows, the fatherless, and the alien. They expected the Messiah would come from a religious elite, but He came from a young woman. They expected the Messiah in Jerusalem, but He was born in Bethlehem. They expected He would come in glory, but He came in infancy. They expected He would take up a crown, but He took up a cross. They expected He would praise the Pharisees and chastise the sinners, but He chastised the Pharisees and loved the sinners. They expected He would ignore the poor, but He promised so much more. They expected He would honor their traditions, but He hated their positions. They expected He would take up a sword, but once again, He took up a cross. As you think about your Savior, you think about the many places that He showed up. Those places that He shows up are not always the expected places. Those places when God shows up are not always those places when you say, I know He's got to show up right here, otherwise, well, He may show up somewhere else. Because if He showed up in the obvious place every single time, would it be unexpected? Would we glorify Him like we need to? Would we praise Him for what He's done? Would we say, wow, what a Savior? Would we say, well, I saw that coming? Listen, every single time you're going through something, right now, even just the day-to-day life, the ministries that we have in our church, God has to show up. Those times when we knock on those doors and share the gospel, God has to show up. Those times when we pick up those bus kids, God has to show up. Those times when we have our Sunday school hour, God has to show up. Those times when the ladies get together on a fellowship on a Tuesday or on a meal, God has to show up. In every single area of our church, every single area of the Christian life, God has to show up. Expect Him to show up in the unexpected place. And when He does show up, praise Him for it, glorify Him for it, and tell someone. Tell as many people as you can. Bring more glory to the name of Christ with the way you live and the things you do.